thank you for joining us for another powerful message from the teaching ministry of Destiny Church. We hope that you'll be challenged and stretched to grow through today's message. But most of all, we hope that you'll encounter the Father's love. If you're in the greater Mobile Bay Area, please join us for our weekend worship celebration. Or if you're looking for a church family excited for a revival, please come join us in bringing heaven to earth.
So we're in this series called Family Tree, and in this, it's all about building healthy relationships. You know that in this series, when we were in the fast, one of the things that the Lord did for me, he did two amazing things. He spoke to me and said, for the next 3 months, I want you to focus on these three things. Authentic faith, we did that last month. Family, and we're doing that this month. And finances. I'm just telling you, I argued with the Lord on two of those. I'm like, you know, people, they don't want to hear about finances. I mean, they just don't want to hear about it. People don't want to hear about family. And I'm telling you what, it's a much needed, I'm telling you, there are those of you in this room that you know that this is something that the Lord ordained because all hell broke loose in your family. You know what I'm saying? I've seen it. I've seen it in multiple families. I've seen it in people that you don't even know. They don't even come to this church, but I know. And so I'm like, okay, God, you know what you're doing. So I'm just being obedient to today. Last week we talked about, in our family tree, we talked about couples. So that we just talked about that, just husband and wife, just those relationships. You're either in a relationship, you're coming out of a relationship, or you want to be in a relationship. Or maybe you just don't want anything, you're fine. But for those of us who are in relationships or looking to be in a relationship, there's a lot of good meat here that you can put into practice in your life. Before we move into the scripture, this is where we're going to go today. In Acts chapter 2, Glenna actually, I don't think she knew what I was doing, but she actually quoted some of the scripture this morning in the opening call to worship. But, you know, in this thing, one of the most difficult things for a pastor to swallow is for people to sit, and this is not to chastise anybody, it's not a rebuke, and I will rebuke you if it needs to happen, and I'll chastise, because the scripture says the scripture is God-inspired and is good for correction, rebuke, discipline, growth. It's good for all of these things, encouragement. But one of the most difficult and discouraging things could for a leader who takes a sacred place like this every week is to see people who will live lives unchanged for years. It's just discouraging. I'm just telling you, for me and other leaders that I know, it's just discouraging when you don't see life change in people. When you see people, they come and they have ears, but they're not to hear. They're closed off. Man, I pray that in your walk with the Lord, and I get it, people go through tough times, but if the word of God is not for the tough times, it really does no good in the good times. Listen to me, in the good times, I don't need the word. I do, but I don't need the word in the good times as much as I do in the bad times, in the difficult times. Most of the time you see people abandon the word during the difficult times. That's the time you need to cling to the word. Like when your finances are low and lack is there, that's when you cling to the word. What does God's word say about it? When my family is being attacked, what does God's word say about it? When my body is sick, what does the word say about it? It's like in those times, I want to encourage you, please grow in the Lord. Like Paul experienced it in his day when he wrote, like you understand, not most, but a lot of the New Testament is written as letters of correction to the churches. They're they're written to straighten the church out because it got off track. That's what a lot of the New Testament is all about. And Paul is writing a letter from another location because he wasn't there. And he was basically saying, don't make me come over there. He even says that in at least one place in his letters. He's like, listen, if I'm writing to you and it might seem stern, but if I have to come over there, you're going to wish I didn't come. And, you know, he's speaking as this prophet, this apostolic figure to the church to bring it back in correction. But he wrote many of the scriptures because people just had not grown deep in their faith. The local church is an important part of my family tree. As important as my relationship with my wife is, my relationship with a local body of believers is important. This is what I want you to take away today. My local church is a vital part of my family. My local church is a vital part of my family. I'm going to say it a few times. Because either the majority of Americans don't believe that, and I'm not talking about non-Christian folk. I'm talking about Christian Americans. Either we don't believe that, or we are in open rebellion against the word. It's just one of the two. We are seeing the greatest falling away in my lifetime and most of yours. The greatest falling away of not just young people. Young people, it's alarming how many young people are falling away from the Lord. But it's a great falling away, a great departure of the church. People are deconstructing. How many people even knew what that word meant in a spiritual context up until what? In the last 5 years, really two, it's come out. I saw a reel the other day on Facebook or something, and it's like, this is what the church, the world thinks of us, church. This is what the world thinks of us. However, the sad thing is that the person that's doing the humor isn't an unbeliever. They're Christians. So when Christians begin to label Christians this way, so the reel is this. So, you know, the guy, there's a voiceover and there's the guy he's supposed to be a leading musician in the church. So you've won 2 Dove Awards. You've written, five of the 10 top Christian songs. You've written a book, all of this stuff. So what's your next big project? And he says, I'm going to deconstruct. I'm going to deconstruct my faith. If you don't know what that means, it means I'm not sure I believe really anything about God anymore. I'm just going to step back and I'm not going to practice my faith. I'm just kind of, you know, I'm tearing all of that down and I'm going to rebuild my faith. Listen, my friend, are you hearing me? Listen to me. If you are a maturing disciple, you're doing that every week of your faith. It's called growth, man. It's called growth. There's some things I don't believe that I used to believe when I was younger, but I got smarter in the faith and in life too. There are some things that I do believe now that I didn't believe back then. See, I used to be one of those people that used to make fun of the gifts of the Spirit that operated in the church, like it happened just a few minutes ago with tongues and interpretation. Why? Because I was ignorant about that. I didn't know what that was about. I just made fun of it. It's easy to make fun of something you don't know a lot about. So here's what I have done before. If somebody wants to talk to me about something and I don't know anything about it, I will straight up tell them, I don't know anything about that. I would have to get educated on it first before you and I could enter a dialogue about that. Now, I'll listen to you, but it don't mean I can have a whole lot in the conversation. But if I go and learn what the context is, and I'm just telling you, the old boy that used to make fun of that, When I first came into to the church world, because I was born into a Pentecostal church, and they were some, you know, lively folks, to put it mildly. And so, you know, whenever I was baptized, I'm telling you, some of this stuff does not make sense. It goes beyond our rationality. It's like, and once the Holy Spirit, when he baptizes you and you've spoken in a prayer language, well, you can't deny that. Either you were fake or it was wrong or what. But it's like, you can tell me. You can tell me it's not right. You could go into all the theological explanations all you want to, all day long. However, I know. Where do I experience that? In a little local church in Greenville, Mississippi. I experienced that for the first time. My dad was dying with cancer. You know the story. I won't go into full detail. But he was dying of cancer. They had given him 6 months to live. I'm telling you, we walked into that hospital room just two weeks after he had left my hometown to go to the capital city of Mississippi. And when we walked in, it was like we walked in, and that dude on the bed, that guy was my dad. He looked like a zombie, a yellow zombie. His liver had stopped working. He was backed up with bile. He had yellow jaundice. He was dying of cancer. They went in just to try to make him comfortable. And they come back and said, "We don't understand it. There is no cancer there." No cancer. That's just something you can't hide. Well, why does he look like death warmed over, literally? And they're like, "We can't explain it. His liver is working again, flushing his system out. In a few days, he'll be back his nice color." Like, you can tell me that God doesn't heal. You can say it, but when you've held the hand of your dying dad and they've given him, these are smart people, highly educated people, and when they come back with x-rays, "This is the cancer just days ago. Here's the x-ray now." It doesn't make sense. Our machine's not broken and your dad's not faking it. And my dad, who they gave 6 months to live, lived 22 years later. For 22 years. Like, you can tell me you don't believe in miracles. You can tell me you don't believe that stuff. But I've experienced it. You know where I found that kind of faith? In my local church. See, we were just old ignorant folks. We didn't have any kind of spiritual background or knowledge. We didn't even have like really faith. Like, we didn't have faith that God was going to heal my dad. You know what we had? We had faith in the preacher, and that's it. Because we didn't have enough faith to know, to possess that. But the preacher said, "God's going to heal your dad. We're just going to pray and God's going to heal your dad." And it's like, well, my gosh, if that's all it took, I wish I'd known this a long time ago. But he said that God was going to heal him. And I remember, he's just an old country preacher, and he would get out in that hall. I mean, even at the Baptist hospital in Greenville, Mississippi, and he would pray like this and he would shake his head like this. And he had this little patch of hair on the back and his hair would just flip. And I just remember him, and man, he was just a get out there, and he would pray, and I would watch him, and I would be just overwhelmed with the power and the authority that he walked in. And man, I'm telling you what, where did I learn that? In my local church. That's where I learned that. Where did my family find healing that saved my dad's life? In my local church. Where did I get baptized in the Holy Spirit? Where did I get called by God to go into ministry? In my local church. I don't know fully when I realized the call of God on my life. I don't know fully when that was. But I remember, now I look back and I go, man, that was some ignorant folks. I'm not even saved, barely. I think I was saved, maybe. But if I was, it wasn't more than a year. And you know what they did, the pastor did? He's like, Rife, I'm going to put you in a Sunday school class teaching these fifth graders. And I'm like, I don't know the first Bible story, I don't think, really. Because you have to understand, I went from zero. I went from zero. And man, he sticks me in this classroom, and these hellions, like, they're all possessed, I'm telling you, and not of God. It's a rough bunch. And three of the kids are from the roughest bunch in the church, like that movie we're about to go see. I'm telling you, man, there was some rough, rough folks. And now one of those, listen to me, the goodness of God, one of those kids pastors the church that Shay and my mom go to. The roughest ones pastoring the church now. I go into this classroom and I'm like, I don't know what's going on. They give me this little book and I'm like, I'm just going to read this. I'm going to teach them. I don't know if any of them learned anything. But listen to me. A few years ago, the grandmother who brought them to church died. And they called me and they asked me if I could do the funeral, and I could not make the funeral. And one of the worst one, I believe he's been in prison as an adult. He's still struggling to get his life back together. But he would talk to me and he would say things. And please hear me, I'm not trying to build myself up. I'm just telling you where God can take you and what he can do in a local church. And he talked to me like I hadn't spoken to him. Shay and I have been married 37 years. And then you do the math. I mean, another 10 years, like, or 37, so 40 years-ish when I hadn't talked to him in that long. And he was talking to me like we talked yesterday. And he would say, Rife, man, I just remember those lessons you would teach us. And I'm like, what? Because none of y'all was listening. Y'all was climbing the walls, fighting each other, rolling in the floor, figure four, headlock, you know, all this. But what God is doing, you know, in his life, it all happened in a local church. I saw a lot of stuff crazy and a lot of stuff bad. I saw people misabuse the pulpit. I saw people that misabused the worship team all throughout my life. And it will happen again. Shay said to me not too long ago, she says, I just want to fix it where this doesn't happen again. And if you've been part of our church family, you've seen, we've had people that, you know, they appear one way, they do a different thing, yada, yada, yada. And I said, baby, it's going to happen again. It makes my stomach hurt when I think of. But the church is made up of people. There's not a perfect person in this room. Not one of us are perfect in this room. All we can do is hopefully operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Operate in the fruit of the Spirit. Walk in the fruit of the Spirit. And give grace when we mess up. And try to reconcile when we can. I'm just telling you, the body of Christ does not do that very well. The body of Christ doesn't do that very well. See, we're a blessed nation. And when I don't like my local church or like somebody there, or I just don't like really what the preacher's saying, or I don't like Sister So-and-so or whatever, we will divorce the church because we've welcomed the spirit of divorce into the local church. Spirit of divorce is a spirit of division. It's a spirit of separation. And it will separate marriages. It used to be that the church was, now I'm sorry, I don't mean, this is just the truth. So don't take this as anybody in particular, and you know, I know some of your lives, I know some of your stories and stuff, but we've welcomed the spirit of divorce into the church where, like, if we don't want to stick with this, like, we're not going to. Maritally, it used to be, the world had a greater divorce rate than the church. Now, it's equal, and I think at one point it surpassed those who are not Christians. All right, so this spirit of separation, of divorce. Like when you hear of people, like seriously, you hear of this is how I feel anyway. Whenever I see somebody on TV and it's like they're going to get married, you know, these stars, and I'm like, why are they even? Just live together. Just shack up. That's how my parents used to put it. Yeah, just live together because you know y'all ain't going to be together in 6 months or a year. And you'll find out just down the road that they've, you know, messed up and they're not together again. Why? Because people go into marriages and it's like, well, you know, if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. When Shay and I got married, I'm telling you, I don't understand. It was just the model of our parents for us. We sat down and we said, hey, when this is the couple, this should have been in last week's message, but we literally had a conversation. She was 17 and I was 18, I think. And we said, so we're going to get married and it's for life because we're really young and we have a lot of life left. Do you want to be with me forever? I want to be with you, but you're prettier than I am. I'm getting the better end of the deal. And we made a commitment to each other. You're the last one that I'm going to be looking at, hopefully, when I pass away. The commitment. But you understand, a spirit of divorce is not just, it's a spirit of separation. It's a spirit of division. And it'll operate in a marriage, but it'll also operate in a church. You can't let that spirit get upon you. Now, it might sound self-serving. Well, Pastor Rife, you're just trying to get people to stay in the church. I'm like, absolutely I am. Absolutely I am. Because you need to get somewhere and get grounded. If it's not here, go somewhere else. But it needs to be get grounded. I'm just telling you, right now there's this thing in the church, it's worse than I've ever seen. And people use churches as their booty call. Now, I know that might be offensive to some people, but it's like they go to church to get their feel good. And they got so-and-so preaching over here this week. And somebody else is preaching over there. They got this meeting over here. And it's like, you know, you're just, you know, you're this person, you know. You're that person. And every time you're up rooting yourself, there cannot be depth. Come on, man. And I'm telling you, I have seen people go to all kind of conferences and they can spit out a bunch of prophetic stuff. Y'all hear me? Because some of y'all are in the house, are prophets and prophetic. And then somebody's listening. But I'm about up to here with prophets. It's quiet in the house here. I'm about up here with prophets. You know why? Because they'll prophesy over somebody, and then that person believes that lie, and then it doesn't come to pass. They're doing everything they know how to do. There's no discipleship there because I have people in my world right now, and I don't have enough coins in my pocket relationally with you that I can spend any of them, because you'll be here one Sunday and I'll see you next maybe 3 or 5 Sundays from now, but you'll tell me all these amazing things and I just want to say, sit down somewhere. If you will just sit down, you will learn how to test words and not just believe them at face value. I'm telling you what, one of the prophetic words that was given, you were standing beside me in, I think it was 1997. Shay was with me. I had my youth group. This church is birthed out of prophetic word from 1997. And when that cat calls me down to the front, I ain't lying to you. I didn't feel any Holy Ghost goosebumps at all in my body. I just wanted to leave and go home. I was tired, and I'm walking down the aisle and he begins to prophesy. And this is my first thought. not Shonda. You, oh, Jesus. That was not, I'm like, I don't know you, dude. And you better not be talking to me like that unless you are hearing from God. I'm not one of those guys that you just play with those kinds of things. I don't want anybody in the house to unfortunately get into this mode where you're resistant to Holy Spirit speaking and you become cynical about everything. The scripture says test the spirits, because every spirit is not of God. And so as he begins to prophesy over me, I'm sitting there listening to every word that he says. And I'm listening to it because I'm like, you ain't fixing to put none of that. Bless me. Jesus going to bless you. He's going to, you know, da, 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 da. Like, I'm already that. You know, I'm highly favored. The scripture already says that I walk in a certain level of blessing. I don't give me no general stuff. The general stuff and specific, but it's here. There's a lot of it right here. And oh my goodness, he starts spitting out some stuff. And I'm like, I'm holding you, like, just because I don't know you. Just because I'm leaving this church, because I'm just passing through this town. Don't think that you are going to be off the hook. Because everything you say, I'm going to tell you how much these people honored the prophetic word. Man, this is back in 97. I mean, this is... I don't even think the internet's going good. I don't, you know, there's not a lot of digital stuff. Man, he called me, or called me afterwards. He said, now I want you to listen the word of God that the Lord gave you. And so he kind of, he's just summing it up again for me. And he said, we've got a VHS. Cutting edge, man. Cutting edge. He's like, we got a VHS tape, and it's got all the prophetic word on there. We got a cassette. It's got all the word. Am I telling it right? Did we get a cassette and a VHS? All right. How they honor the word. Like, hey, whatever, what the Lord said, here's proof of it. I'm telling you what. Shay and I transcribed. She actually transcribed every word of that prophetic word. Every word of it. And we held on to it because it had a 10-year period on it. And I'm telling you what, during that 10 years, there were times where it's like, God, I don't believe this word is going to come to pass. I don't believe it's going to happen. I don't believe it's going to happen. There were ups and downs, but we made a commitment that we're going to see it through to the end. And in 10 years, I'm telling you, it happened just like the prophet said. 10 years, there's a door open. I almost forgot about the door. I mean, 10 years is a long time, folks. I almost forgot about the door. And when the opportunity came forward, I'm like, oh my gosh, this is what God said. We had forgotten, but we had pulled it out, dust it off every now and then. All of that we learned in the local church. But when we hop around, when we jump around, when we are inconsistent, what happens is there are these gaps in our maturity. There are these gaps in our discipleship. And what happens is you end up having what we have today, the largest illiterate community of Christians on the planet. When we have, it's a oxymoron really in my world. Greatest illiteracy, but the most digitally available to the people, scripture, commentaries, sermons. I mean, you can get the best sermons of any theologians and preachers in the world on your phone. You don't have to travel to another continent. You don't have to go to a different state. You can be looking at it in your car, on your break. Like, there's so much. None of that replaces the local church. It is one of the most important places in your family. Acts chapter 2, turn there real quick with me. In Acts chapter 2, up until this point, it's just really been the disciples. It's really just been Jesus, the 12 disciples, then the 72, and they're multiplying. And so they begin to multiply, and as they're multiplying, what begins to happen is they're like, well, we need to get together somewhere. And we can't, there's, you know, they didn't go, they did go to the temple, but they were looked as rebels and, you know, heretics. So the temple didn't really look very, very favorably upon them coming in because they were teaching a new doctrine. It really wasn't, but to the leadership, it was like, no, we don't teach that here. Jesus was a heretic to the spiritual leaders of the day. And so they're like, we've got to start meeting somewhere. And so they would begin to find homes and locations. And so that's what's happening. The believers have grown now. And they're beginning to, it's after the day of Pentecost. They had this huge growth spurt when 3,000 were added to the church. And that doesn't include like the women and the children. So, you know, it could be upwards of 10,000 people all of a sudden need discipleship. And so look at verse 42 in chapter 2. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miracles and signs and wonders. And here's where it is. And all the believers met together in one place, and they shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day. They met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity, and all while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved. What was happening here is, man, they are growing. They're growing in Christ. They're growing in their knowledge of the word. They're growing in their relationship with each other. They're growing in their relationship with the apostles, the spiritual leaders of the church. And when we see this, it's talking about there was a place that they met. There was a place that, a physical place where they would go to, where they were having what is called ecclesia. You know, many of you, if you've been raised in church, the word ecclesia is probably not foreign to you. It's a Greek word that refers to what we call the church. But before that, it was a word that the writers of Scripture adopted from just common culture. It's really an assembly. So the Senate could be an ecclesia. The House of Representatives could be an ecclesia. A town hall meeting could be an ecclesia. A parent-teacher meeting could be an ecclesia. And so they adopted that and said, well, we're an ecclesia of believers. And so they would gather together in a local place. And they would be under, listen, they would be under the teaching of an apostle. You follow me? Yeah. Of an apostle. Now, I'm fixing to say some controversial stuff right here. Like, one of the blessings of technology is that we can have so many great men and women of God that we're listening to. One of the downsides of technology is that we have so many great men and women of God to listen to. Because what's happening is we've got all these people speaking into our lives, and you'll be listening to something that, I'm going to be honest with you, maybe that's not your season to hear that word. Maybe that's not your season to hear that word, because that's not the season your local house is in. But because you are getting your booty call at, you know, Superstar Pastor's Church, that's more exciting for you to listen to than it is for you to sit under an apostle's teaching and get the grounding that you need.
I want to go listen to the sexy teaching because this has gotten boring. Are you following me? Are you following me? It's like, man, you need to put some roots down. You need to grow. Listen, there have been times in my marriage. I'm speaking for me, and I'm sure whatever I say, you could amplify it a few times for Shay. There have been times in our marriage that it gets boring. So if she's boring to me here, I'm probably off the charts boring to her. There have been times when we haven't had as much passion in our marriage as we do others. I don't just kick her to the curb and thank God she didn't me. It's because I made a covenant with her, and so we look at like, so what's going on here? What's like, what do we need to do? We need to reinvigorate some things, have some date nights. You know, I don't know. What is it? Get my attitude right. You know, stop doing all of this that's taking my attention away from the one priority in my family I should have. Like we work on that stuff. When it comes to the church, so many times we become complacent because it's like, that's going to happen. I'm telling you, if you are new in your marriage, if you think it's going to be red hot sizzling fire all the time, and if it happens to you, you just better take that and be glory to God for it. But if you like, you know, 99% of the rest of us, you're going to go through those seasons where, like Paul told Timothy, you got to stir up the fire. You got to, you know, stoke the fires, fan the flame, get yourself in your marriage back to where you are. There are times you'll do that in your spiritual walk. There are times you'll have to do that in your church. Listen, there are some things that you have to understand. Somewhere, somebody's always going to be building a bigger building. They're going to have a sexier youth pastor, not ours, of course. You know, they're going to have a. And you understand, I'm using sexy not in a sensual way. I'm using it in a sense that it's new. There's going to be another church that is always going to have better music. That's going to have better children's ministry. All these different things. You're always going to find that. Everywhere. What is God calling you to? What is God calling you to? The other day, I was talking to somebody, and they were like, "Yeah, I got upset because, you know, I'm serious. These are real life things. Somebody wants to meet with me. Yeah, I got upset with my pastor." Because I tried to see him, but he wasn't able to see him. And I'm going through this in my life. And this is, man, I'm telling you, I didn't tell him this, but this is what I wanted to tell him. So let me get this straight. Let me get this straight. You go to Big Sexy Church. You go to, does it bother some of y'all that I use that? You go to big flashy church. You got big flashy everything. You got that. But our children's ministry is not good enough for your kids. Because it ain't big flashy. And our music is not good enough for you. Because it ain't big flashy. And your pastor here is not good enough for you. Because you like big flashy. But when you need somebody to pray for you, to hold your hand, somebody that you can touch, like you can touch, then you will come call me. You will come call me. You need to be at a place, because see what. What we have made church into, we have made church into, like, it's a show, it's all about me, it's what I like, it's, you know, it's a production that I go to, and everything. And what, so when you choose that, don't be disappointed when the personal connection is not there. Don't, you know, so When I'm not anti-big church. Like, if that works for somebody, praise God. I wish our church were bigger. But not just for the sake of bigger, but for people getting saved and transformed. Man, I'm just telling you, there's so many times that people come to me and they're upset at about something at their church and they want an audience with me. I'm like, have you talked to anybody at your church about it? Because you don't need to talk to me. Yes, I've tried to say this or that. And I'm like, so why are you still there? Why are you still there? Well, we like so-and-so and such-and-so. So basically, it's your entertainment. It's a social thing for you. I'm just telling you, man, the church is not a social construct. Social things happen at the church. Community happens at the church. Those kinds of things happen. But social things really are not always community. Like, you can have a lot of stuff happening, but real relationship. Real relationships are going to happen in a local church when you put the energy into making it happen. We've got so many doctrines of demons that are going on in the world right now that people are believing. They're believing that they have so many friends because Facebook tells me that I do. They believe that they're in interaction. Look, I'm just telling you, you're in interaction and community with them until you tick them off. And they will drop you like flies. And that same mindset in the church, they will bring that into the church. I've seen people that I've known for 25, 30 years. They'll leave and not even say goodbye. Cut you off. You are dead to me. Like, we've brought that into the church. My friends, like the Apostle Paul said, these are things that should not be. I'm just telling you what. When I look back at our little country church that Shay and I went to, I found a lot in that little country church. The pastor, I say this with all humility, the pastor, he wasn't as educated as I am. He didn't have the degree behind his name like I do. He didn't have any formal schooling in ministry like I do. But he moved in power and might. He was like the Apostle Paul. We didn't come in here with some enticing words. I'm as country as I can be and ain't making any apology for it. But what I do come, he came with the power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost. And I learned that from him. And I learned from him, it's not about how fresh you look. It's about the power of God that emanates from the believer who operates in faith. I found in that church community that I still have friends to this day that I met in that church. I found my wife in that church. I found a whole nother side of my family in her family that's now my family in that church. I found my calling in that church. I was in that church and I didn't see anything good in me. See, I'm just a teenager with a screwed up past, lots of trauma, and trying to think about the time I'm going to end it all. That's where I was. But God arrested me through the teaching of that local fellowship. I was called to preach probably when I was teaching those rowdy bunch of fifth graders that I didn't even know what God was doing in my life. I remember in the pastor's office one day, and I had already accepted the call to ministry. I felt like, you know, God was calling me. I acknowledged that. And I'm sitting in his office. You understand, I still see myself as this unworthy, low self-esteem because of all the trauma that I went through. But look, he looked at me and he saw something in me that I couldn't see it. I couldn't see it. I didn't even believe him when he told me. He said, Rife, one day, people are going to be calling you and they're going to want you to come to their church as a pastor. One day, Rife, people are going to seek you out. And I'm like, you have lost your mind. Because my faith wasn't there. And also, my self-image wasn't there. He was on the outside looking in. He was looking at a young David. I was looking at somebody who was traumatized by King Saul. You know what I'm saying? I was looking at somebody who was beat down, the runt of all the other brothers, the least masculine of them. You know, Chris has more hair on his face than I have on my whole body. You know, I'm like, all my brothers are hairy and grizzly. And, you know, I'm just this little pretty thing that's, you know, I'll be slinging on a harp or whatever. Like, but God chooses who he wants to choose. Amen. And so I cannot tell you how important the body of Christ is. Listen, was Pastor Wesley preaching next Sunday in the video announcements? Yeah. All right, I thought so. I mean, I did put those together, but sometimes I'm like, was it in there? I've always said we're not going to be this kind of church from a leadership standpoint. Unfortunately, we have been this kind of church. It's disappointing to me because I'm like, yeah, that's, we're no different from any other church. Change that. Help me change that. Now, I've always held this standard up, but I'm like, I've had pastors to say, we're not going to put Pastor Wesley up. They didn't say it about you. They said it about, we're not going to put who's going to be speaking because, like, if I'm not speaking, they won't show up. Well, that's pathetic. That's really pathetic. Because, like, I would hope that if I'm not here, that you just come do what we do. Because it's not about me. I've tried to never make this thing about me. But I'm like, you know what? We're not going to be that church. And so we do tell people when somebody else is going to be speaking. And it's like, you can choose to go somewhere else or stay in bed or do whatever. But the elect, you know, the very elect of God, the real ones, like they're going to be here to support Pastor Wesley. Also, Pastor Wesley is not a fill-in. I've never treated anybody like this before, ever. Because I have been treated like this before. The only time I'm good enough to preach is when the pastor's out of town. So I'm the fill-in guy. Well, Pastor Wesley's not the fill-in guy. Alan's not the fill-in guy. You know, they fill in, you know, occasionally when I'm not. But they're not the fill-in people. These are mighty men and women. Sometimes we have women of God who come with the word. And I tell them, like, don't be coming with no junk now. Well, like, we don't have time. We don't have time to waste in this hour and a half of whatever we don't have time to waste. When you come, you step up here and you better have something. And it better be sane, all right? Better be biblical. It may be better be dripping with the word and with the anointing. All right. But in the scripture, Paul, he says this. He says, or sorry, not Paul, David. David says this. He said, I was so glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You see, there's a time where they couldn't go to the house. The temple was destroyed. The walls were torn down. But man, oh Nehemiah, he came back in and built those walls back up. They got the temple rebuilt. And David was like, I'm so excited. I'm ready to go to the house of God. I cannot wait to get to the house of God. I'm ready to get to the house of God. And I just want to ask you, when was the last time that you really felt excited to get to God's house? I'm telling you, man, I want you to be excited to get to God's house. Look at this. So my local church is a vital part of my family. It's not just your husband and wife. It's not just your children. It's not just, it's your church family. This is vital. Your children, your grandchildren, their lives are going to be changed by being part of a local church. Not local churches, local church, a local church. I want you to look at this. I'm going to go through these quick, I promise you, because we're fixing to pray and eat. So here's 10 ways that you can connect with your church family. Because I'm telling you, when you don't feel connected, you need to ask yourself what is wrong, and you start with yourself first.
Well, the preacher preaching, he's always preaching on something I don't like.
Man, I preach on stuff I don't like. God, you sure you don't want me to do something else? No, because you need this, you know.
10 ways you can connect with your church family. Number one, prepare for church. Prepare for church. Some people, they don't even think about church until it's pretty much time to get there. Prepare for church. This can be so many things to so many people. Yeah. Single people, don't stay out to 1:30 in the morning, because you can on Saturday, really over into Sunday. Don't stay out that late. Why? Because it's going to be hard for you to get up later that morning. I've known single people, they'd be out to the wee hours of the night. And that goes back to the Lord asking us in his service today, do you love me more than these? What's these? These friends, these times, these opportunities. Do you love me more than these? Because you can't even get out of bed to go be in the house of the Lord. Prepare for church. That means my wife is excellent at this. When we had little ones, our house on Sunday mornings, and I love it when people come up to me. I don't try to shame them or anything. Pastor Rife, your car, you know, it looks so clean. I guess you just don't have kids. My car looked like that when I had kids. I know your house. My house looked like that when we had kids. I'm not saying it was right. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do. Pastor Rife, we barely struggled to get there on Sunday morning. I don't remember Shay being late to church with our kids. Now, I'm on staff, so I'm there because of a requirement. She's there as my wife. She didn't come dragging in, you know, hair cattywampus with all the kids. You know, it looked like, you know, it looked like a blind man dressed on. No. Why? Her preparing was, we had their clothes set out the night before. We already know what we're going to eat for breakfast that morning. And it's not going to be some huge breakfast. She would prepare their breakfast. Like, you're going to have this, you're going to have this. This is what we're... It was orderly. We prepared. Why? Because we do not want to be in chaos. My God, y'all come on, we're going to miss it. They're already in the fourth song. No. Because we prepared. There's preparation that goes into it. And I'm just telling you, set yourself up for success like you would your job. Yeah. And if you just ask yourself, am I doing more for my job than I am for church? You got it backwards. Prepare yourself. I don't know about you, but my wife doesn't go into class on Thursday morning and go, I don't know what I'm teaching today. Y'all, hang on. She already knows what she's teaching. Like, many times when we come to church, the last time we picked up one of these is weeks ago. Like, we haven't even been in it. Last time we heard a worship song is last Sunday when I was in church. You follow, just preparing. I'm just telling you, prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. Prepare your heart. I'm not one of these people that think you got to have scripture on every wall of your house, playing worship song in your AirPods 24/7. And I'm not that person. I get it. We have lives that we like to take in the arts and entertainment and other things. But somewhere in our life, there ought to be times that we're preparing our spirit. So prepare for church. It can look like a lot of different things. Bring a Bible and a journal to church to take notes. A lot of times, Bibles have been replaced by phones, and those are good. But I'm telling you what, usually when you see me, I've got this and I've got this. There's just something about a physical copy of the Bible that I can pull out, read, and if I want to, write in there anywhere I want to. There's something about taking notes. Now, in the education world, I literally said this recently to somebody, but in the education world, everything that you've heard me say, you're going to forget 90% of that. You'll walk out, and as much time as I've spent talking to you, and as good as I think the teaching is, you'll forget 90% of it. You just will. It's proven. In the education world, we know that. So what we do is we provide a graphic for you. Because now that you've heard it and you've seen it, what happens? Your retention level goes up. I don't have all those percentages right now, but when I do teaching on this, a lot of times I'll list this. All right, so now I've got a journal. So, man, what is that he said, you know? And you're writing it down. While you're writing down, Holy Spirit is speaking to you, and he's sharing new revelation that I didn't share with you, Holy Spirit shared with you as a side note. And you're writing that down. Do you know that when you hear it, when you see it, and when you write it, all of a sudden, your retention level goes up? I don't know if this is the next point or not. Let's see. Yeah, follow through. Follow through with the challenges at the end of the message. Every week I give you a challenge. I was speaking to someone and they said, you know, I don't really do those. And I'm like, wow, that sort of hurts my heart a little bit. But it hurts me a little more for you because I know that you're probably not growing to the level you could. Because when you hear it, it's spoken and you hear it. When you see it, it's going up. When you write it down, your retention goes up. And when you practice it, that is you've gotten to the highest level of retention because it's becoming a habit for you. Every week, if you want to connect with your local church, do what your church is doing. Do what your church is learning. Walk out of this place and do what I pretty much just say, hey man, here's the challenge. Look at these. Get involved in events or groups outside of Sunday. Glenna gave you a testimony. She was just really kind of devastated in her spirit. But she came to a women's group that bred life into her spirit. Get involved in a group. Like so many people come in and they leave, but they don't really get connected. They come in, they sit, they get up and leave. When you get connected into a group or some kind of event outside of this, if you don't, there will be people. Like there have been people who, I'll just use women for example, they've never been to any of our women's events for whatever reason. And they feel so disconnected from the church. And I'm like, but you're not making efforts. You're not making efforts to connect. So what would you, you're reaping what you're sowing or not sowing. Get involved. Begin serving in ministry somewhere. Begin serving in ministry. Why? Because many of those people in those circles will become some of your closest friends. Not all of them, but a lot of them will. And you'll begin to feel connected to the heartbeat and the mission of the church. Give financially, tithe and give offerings towards the mission of the church and the kingdom of God. As I'm listening to Pastor Wesley talk this morning and talking about planning and giving as part of, what was it? You giving, planning to give, but the end part was worship. And I'm like, you know, I'm just telling you, I don't give because like I have to. I give because it is an act of worship for Shay and I. And you know, that little, for me at least, that little email that I get that says, your processing of your tithe has gone through. I look at that and I'm like, God, thank you. Thank you, God. This is for you, Lord. Bless your name, Father. Give financially. Connect there. When you miss, listen to the message online. Like if you're not here today, which you are, and you miss this message, you would miss an incredible teaching about connectivity to a local body. But hopefully, if you're not, that's going to change your mind, and God's going to speak to your spirit about getting connected somewhere. Follow up with your church on digital media.
Preacher, I don't do digital media.
Well, you need to figure it out. You need to find some way to follow up with your church. I don't understand how I can see your likes on kitty cats playing guitars
but you never like one post that the church puts out. I don't understand why we put something powerful and you never forward that, but you forwarded me 15 things about stuff I don't even care about. Like, no, you do, and you can, but you won't. And you like to be that person, ouch, that walks in and goes, I didn't know about it, preacher, or I would have been here. It's like, no, you had plenty, because there's a multiplicity of ways that we communicate. And what we do is we push information towards you so that you can have a text, or you can have an email, or you can have something on social media. Follow some of those ways so you'll know what your church is doing and what God is speaking. Two more. Fellowship with people outside of Sunday morning. Go to the hunting camp with them. Go fishing with them. Go get your nails did. Do whatever. Get outside of this setting.
Well, preacher, I just hadn't had anybody invite me to anything at church.
Then you invite somebody. You invite somebody. Don't sit back like, you know, old sulky puss and go like, well, I'm friendly and nobody's being friendly to me. You be friendly. The scripture says, if you want to have friends, show yourself friendly. You'll find somebody. Well, I went and they never called me back. They ghosted me. Move on. There ain't one person here. Move on to somebody else. But connect with people in fellowship outside of the church. Pray for your church, your pastors, and the ministries. Listen, we are good. We are so good at finding fault and issues with churches. There's not a church on the planet that does not exist or that does exist that you will not find issues with them. Why? Because there's not a perfect preacher. There's not a perfect pastor. There's not a perfect church family. We all are going to have them. But when you're like going through stuff, pray. Listen, like Holy Spirit said earlier, do you love me more than these? And that's a personal reflection question. I'm fixing to ask a question. You don't answer to me, and honestly answer to yourself. Honestly answer to yourself. When was the last time that you've prayed for our church? When was the last time you have personally prayed for me, Pastor Wesley, any of our leaders? When was the last time you, not your wife, not your husband, you, when was the last time you prayed for the ministries of this church? I sat in a group of intercessors last Sunday, and one of our intercessors was like, you know, Pastor Ralph, I'm just tired. I'm just tired of our church going through these things. You know, and we've been through some tough and turbulent times over the last 7 years. It's been hell, and I don't like it. I'm looking for the harvest time. I'm looking for the Jubilee season to come. I'm looking for that, you know. And this is what my response was. Why do you think that's happening? I'll tell you why I think it's happening, because people are not praying. People are not praying. People are not praying. They are not taking this stuff seriously. They are not taking the devil seriously. They are not taking demonic assaults seriously. Why? It's easier for us to stand back and go, it's easier for us to do that than to go, what is happening? What is happening? Man, we better pray, because the devil is real. He hates you. He definitely hates me. We've got to pray for our church family. We have to pray for one another. These are 10 ways that, there's many others, but these are 10 ways, and here's how you can take it, knock it out of the park. What if you sat down with your family? See, Shay and I still have to do our homework for next week, from last week, because we didn't sit down yet. But we've got to sit down and do last week, and we've got to do this one. Sit down with your family and see what areas we can do better to connect with my church family. What can you do? What can our family do to connect better
with my church family. Well, Pastor Rife, I feel like I'm connecting really, really good. That's awesome. What could you do to take it up even another notch? Because everybody can take it to a deeper place.